Blog Talk Radio.
Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's Tuesday, January 26, 2016, and I want to welcome you to We Get Results. I'm your host, Mary Singer Albertson, and if you haven't joined me before, We Get Results is broadcast on the fourth Tuesday of the month at 1 p.m. Eastern, also archived for later listening. My program is designed to inform listeners about major challenges facing people of the U.S. and globally, and to connect you to ways that you can make a difference. The best way that I've found for one person to make a difference is with the Results organization. Results is a volunteer citizens lobby to create the political will to end hunger and poverty. And I believe that everyone can get results if they know how and where to connect to something that they're passionate about. Nelson Mandela said, "Overcoming poverty is not a gesture of charity, it's an act of justice. It is the protection of a fundamental human right, the right to dignity and a decent life." So it's up to us right now. We are the ones we've been waiting for. There's no one else coming. So we need to do some actions, and I'm going to tell you the website for you to look at now and at the end of the show. So I want you to check out Results website, www.results.org, and join us for actions that we can take to help those who need a hand up to pull themselves out of poverty. And today's program, I'm going to focus on Results domestic successes and actions that we can take to give the people in the U.S. a hand up. So the first guest I have is the publisher of a street newspaper in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and longtime Results volunteer Susan Beckett. And then we're going to go on in the second part to celebrate some domestic Results successes and talk about the next step towards alleviating hunger and poverty in the U.S. With Christy Martino, a Results domestic staff member, and with Tamara Bates, a Results volunteer and participant in the Experts Project. So I'm going to let you know a little bit about Susan first. Susan Beckett, I've known her since 2005 when I started with Results, but she had been in way before that, and I'll tell you some of the things she had been doing. To start off with, she worked with computers as a technical writer and then did testing and ultimately was a computer programmer. She stayed home for a while with her oldest child and was a certified teacher and substituted in elementary and special education classrooms. She was a youth at risk volunteer, an NAACP mentor to a young teen, and she actually has been a Results volunteer since 1990. 25 years of lobbying for the end of hunger and the worst aspects of poverty, and we've made some really great strides and successes, and Susan's been part of that because I've seen her many times on the Hill with Congress, and she's amazing. So then in 2010, she founded and began publishing a street newspaper in Ann Arbor, Michigan called Ground Cover News, which is printed monthly and sold by people who are struggling to get housing or to stay housed. So we want to talk to Susan about Ground Cover News and her work with Results. So I'm going to say welcome to the program, Susan. Can you hear me?
I can, Mary. Thank you. So nice to be here.
Well, thank you for coming on the program. I've just been really proud of the work that you've done. You know, I've known you through Results, and then when you started the newspaper for homeless or people trying to keep their homes, I just was, you know, just thought it was just fabulous. I think that, you know, you've taken on something that really makes a difference. And I noticed on your last paper in December I have here that your mission is creating opportunity and a voice for low-income people while taking action to end homelessness and poverty. And I think that's fabulous. And I see a great editorial you put in here, cuts to mental health budget, imperils special needs workers. You are on a homeless in Washtenaw County. event as a panelist, and you are focusing on the problem of too few suitable employment opportunities for people with challenges, which is so badly needed. So with that, why don't we have you tell us a little bit about Brown Cover News and how it works.
Okay. So like most street newspapers, it's designed for people who really need a complete new start. So when they come, and it's a very low, we're extremely low barrier. If you come to our office and say, I want to sell ground cover, we say, great, come on in. We'll tell you everything you need to know. And when you leave, you'll have 10 free newspapers and a permit to sell in the area. And you can get started. So it's like 45 minutes to an hour from the time you walk in the door until you walk out ready to make money.
Mm-hmm.
So each of these people acts as an independent entrepreneur. So they buy after those first 10 papers, we say, you know, every bit of money that you get for these papers is yours to keep. You know, it has a suggested donation of $1, but sometimes people will give you more. Whatever you get, mm-hmm. it's yours. But this is your stake money, so you need to save some of it. If you want to do this again, you need to save some and come back so you can buy more papers. And each paper costs, those people who sell them, we call them our vendors, each paper
mm-hmm.
costs under 25 cents. So they're making at least 75 cents on the dollar, and
mm-hmm.
they're independent business people, you know, set up in an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I've seen them around Ann Arbor, and they all have their spots that they can go to that is their particular place to sell, isn't it?
Many people do have their own spots, and, you know, we encourage people to, when they start, to go to a place where they feel comfortable and stay there for a while and get so people get to know them, because, you know,
mm-hmm.
at first people don't tend to notice, like just with anybody who's out on the street, people don't notice them at first. But if you're in the
mm-hmm.
same place at the same time and people go back, you know, past you two or three times, by the third time they're interested.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes it takes a little while to find the right spot. So we don't pin people
yeah.
down, you must go here.
Yeah, and I've found, too, when I've been in Ann Arbor doing things downtown, and they're very good about being fairly low-key in selling them. I mean, they're not after you or anything. They really do a good job of letting you know they're there, but, you know, there's no high pressure or anything.
Right, and that's part of what we do in that 45-minute orientation. And then for the people, you know, some people, you know, about a third of the people who come in never come back. They just, you know, they find
mm-hmm.
out it's just too confrontational for them to be you know, exposed in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But for the people who do come back, once they've bought 50 papers from us, we do a second orientation with them, more of like an intake, and we go into some of those considerations, how to sell more effectively, how to be an asset in the community. We go into all that in more depth, as well as providing a lot of equipment and supplies for them, further supplies.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds great. That sounds really good. And why do you feel this is so necessary and needed at this time?
Well, you know, we started at the beginning of the big recession, and at that point,
mm-hmm.
there were so many people who had lost their jobs and just had no prospects whatsoever of gaining employment in the normal ways because nobody was hiring. And that's, you know, that really, that situation has changed some, but during that time, it was a way for people to survive until things got better, as well as addressing the people who've stayed with us, people who've been marginalized, economically marginalized for a long time. And that can be from a number of different, causes. You know, there are a number of people who are who have physical handicaps or diseases like arthritis and migraine headaches
mm-hmm.
that make it so that they are not reliable for the mainstream workplace. You know, you never know when they're going to be able to work and when they won't.
Mm-hmm.
But for something like this, you know, if it's a bad day, they just don't go out and sell that day because it's totally up to them when and where they work. And for how, and then, you know, there are other people who have cognitive impairments who need, they just need more help than a traditional employer is usually willing to give. So you know, we're very lucky that we have many many volunteers who help staff our office, and they'll walk people through different scenarios as often as they have to. Or you know, we have one person who's terrific at selling, but he has a problem with how to get to a place he's never been before. So we have people who will walk him there or take the bus with him the first couple times until he until he understands how to do it.
That's great.
You know, yeah. And then there are people, you know, who made some bad choices when they were young and they have criminal records. And you know, now the employers are very reluctant to take a chance on them. And one, you know, another is people who are in the skilled trades who become incapacitated in some way. You know, they break a leg or they need a hip replacement, and they lose all their income. You know, it doesn't take long until their savings are gone, and they have no way to make any additional income, and they typically do not have insurance to cover that. So ground cover, you know, it's something we've had a number of people with broken legs, you know, they sell it out of a wheelchair. That's something that they can, something that they can do. And then when they're finally well again, you know, usually their tools have been, usually by the time that people get to ground cover, they've exhausted all their other other avenues. You know, they've exhausted family, they've sold everything they own, and they're really down to nothing. So one of the things that they have to do is rebuild the resources to acquire the tools of their trade again. And then we have a lot of people with various, you know, mild mental illness, a lot of PTSD, not just from the war, but from, you know, so many women are raped and they're left with PTSD, people from who've been imprisoned, people who experience violence in their homes or neighborhoods. There's a lot of depression, some bipolar, a lot of anxiety. And so, again, it makes these are conditions that, you know, people never know when they're going to get triggered, and to become suddenly incapacitated in a normal job is a big problem. But with ground cover, it just means they stop selling and go home.
Well, that sounds great. What kind of outcomes have you seen from this now? What do you see happening? And are there a lot of different cities that are doing this? No.
Oh yeah, there's I forget the exact number right now, but there's cities all around the world. I think there's over 35 right now. Most cities in the United States have a street newspaper now.
Anybody else in Michigan?
Yes, actually, there's a Thrive Detroit, and there's also a newspaper in Traverse City, whose name I can't recall at the moment. They actually publish in conjunction with one that's from North Carolina. They share content.
Cool.
You know, in terms of did you ask me about outcomes? So, you know, one of the other reasons, I'm going to tie this back to one of the other reasons, two of the other reasons that it's needed, is that, you know, there's a severe lack of social interaction between people in different economic strata, and there's also an incredible amount of social isolation for people who are extremely impoverished. So one of the outcomes that's really apparent is that relationships have been forged. You know, within we do things within ground cover. We have a social hour every week, and there's a community dinner that many of us go to, and we eat together. And so people have really, they've gotten to know each other and rely on each other and formed like a new family.
No.
And that has also happened between many of our vendors and the people that they sell to, especially the people that they sell to at religious institutions. We have a lot of churches and synagogues who invite, who allow people to sell there, and we have the same people go every time. They've become part of those communities in every sense of the word. And so we find that this has been a terrific way for community members to practice direct giving, whether it's of money or gear, food, inviting people in. We've had people give our vendors bicycles, headphones, telephones, tablets, all kinds of
great
things. But then in terms of the vendors themselves, we've had a lot of people who've reentered the traditional job market once they, once they healed and got the tools of their trade again. Many have regained their sobriety, restored relationships with their families, developed as writers and salespeople, and most have become housed and stayed housed. So, there's always people coming, but, if the people who've been with us for a while, there's no comparison between what their life is now and what it was like 3 years ago.
Oh, that's wonderful. And they do some of the writing in the paper themselves too, don't they? Articles and things.
They do. I'd say they contribute between a quarter and a third of the content of most issues. And they also sell advertising. And they get commissions for that.
Cool.
Yeah, and they help in many ways. It's our newspaper, and they have a strong sense of ownership and many roles to play within that.
And do you get as many volunteers as you need? What kind of help do you need?
Well, we can, you can always use more volunteers. Like I said, we have we have people who work in our office. Our office is open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 10 to 2. And people come into the office to buy more newspapers, to get trained, to get help with writing, to get help with filling out job applications. So having multiple people there in the office to help with whatever comes up is always useful. And we could use a couple more people, especially on Thursday. We could use paralegal help. For example, the law changed in Michigan recently so that it's much easier now to get a criminal record expunged if you've been on the straight and narrow for the last 5 years. But it's not an easy thing to do. So we can use people to help with that. Just to help through the process and help with how do I go back and get these records that I need to present for expungement. We can always use help with proofreading and investigative reporting. And then there are just and social media, and we're a business, so pretty much everything that you would need in a traditional business we need as well. Selling advertising, doing the books. And then there are just, like I said, we have a lot of social opportunities, so managing those social opportunities. The first Thursday of every month, we celebrate the birthdays of that month, so we have volunteers who bake cakes. So there's a huge range. If you want to help, give us a call, tell us what you like to do, and we'll find something.
Yeah. And then as far as donations, too?
Oh, donations are very helpful, especially now. What I started to say earlier was, we started at the time of the recession, and the people that were selling then at that time, many of them were, they were healthy and capable, and they were able to sell lots of papers in a month. We had at one point eight people selling in excess of 800 a month.
How many people? I didn't quite hear that.
There were at least eight who were selling 800 a month. And at that, at that time, our circulation had gotten up to about 12,000 copies a month. And we were on pace to hit 20,000 by this year, which would have put us at a point where we could have hired an executive director and really been sustainable for the long term. But instead, the economy improved, and most of those people got mainstream jobs, and if they sell at all anymore, it's just like 100 or 200 a month. And so most of the people who are selling now, not all, but many, are people who have somewhat debilitating conditions, and a couple hundred is all they're going to sell. So our circulation has really been cut in half. So we're looking, you know, we're at a point where we may have to reconsider. You know, I had always hoped to be able to sustain this just off from our own the money that we make, you know, selling papers and advertising. But we're at a point now where we may have to rely heavily on donations and grant money to be sustainable.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you give out the contact information if someone would like to donate or to volunteer? What would you want to give out for information?
All right. Well, the best way to reach me is through email, and you can email me at contact@groundcovernews.com. So that's contact, contact, groundcover, groundcover, news, news, dot com, period, com.
Yeah.
Dot com.
Okay.
And then we do have a website, and that's groundcovernews.org. Or you can groundcovernews.com will work also, and we have a phone number, but it only gets answered when our office is open. But if you leave a message, it will get to me. And that number is 734-707-9210.
Okay. Well, I hope people will call that number and see what Susan needs and try to be of some help. It's fun being out in Ann Arbor too, and you know, especially nice in the summertime when they're around and there's lots of different things going on. And so I'm really excited that you're doing this, Susan. I think this is a huge help to people, and I'm sure it takes lots of hours for you to do this. And you know, we just are grateful for you and what you're doing for people who need a hand up. So keep it up. And if you have anything else that you'd like me to announce at all, let me know. And maybe you can give us an idea, kind of getting into the results a little bit. Is there anything more on ground cover you want to say?
Well, I was making that segue to results. I was just going to say that people ask me all the time what gave me the idea to start a street newspaper.
Yeah.
And I encountered one in Seattle when I was visiting my daughter, and I recognized right away its potential as a microcredit opportunity for the poorest of the poor in the United States. And I'd been sensitive to that through my years of volunteering with Results and the consequent association with Muhammad Yunus, the Nobel Peace Prize winner who started the Grameen Bank, and Ingrid Monroe started Jamie Bora. And, you know, it was Ingrid Monroe, I believe, who took the microcredit concept and said, now we have to really get to the poorest of the poor and find a way to get those people who are out on the street begging or going door-to-door, who are going door to door out on the street begging, find a way to get them into business. And she, you know, she would give them ribbons or something and say, here, instead of when you go to the door, offer them a ribbon as well, or sell them a ribbon, help people make that transition. And so it jumped out at me that this was like our equivalent to doing that, and how cool it would be to start a microenterprise that would facilitate hundreds of other people to become micro entrepreneurs themselves. So it was really it never would have occurred to me had it not been for Results.
Yeah, and I know some of our Results people went a few years ago with Marianne Williamson to Kenya, to the second largest what do I call it? The place where all the homeless are. I can't think of the name of the place now, but that's where Jimmy Bora had lots of people doing little businesses, women doing businesses all over the place, and can't think of the name of the place now, but
you mean like Kibera?
Yeah, Kibera. In the slum, second largest slum in the world, and I think that they, and I don't know if that for sure was the Jamie Bora part, but I know that everyone saw, you know, women all over the place doing small businesses with beads or anything else. But a lot of, you know, there's microcredit coming in the United States now in the way of Grameen America and Kiva, Detroit, and other places that are working on helping the poorest women get a small loan so they can build a business and pull themselves out of poverty. So, yeah, that was a big thing for us, lobbying, and you and I have done a lot of lobbying for global results too, but we also are doing domestic for things for the people in the U.S. Now there's 1 in 5 of the children in the U.S. are in poverty now, second only to Romania in 35 developed countries. You know, we've got kids that don't know if they're going to eat every day, about 1 in 5 or 1 in 4. And so this kind of thing is great, and I'm really excited that you're doing this, Susan, and that it's working out well. And is there anything else you'd like to say about results or anything else before you leave us?
No, I think I'll let you move on, but thank you so much for having me, and thank you for doing this show.
Well, thank you so much for what you're doing. That was a big undertaking, and you know, I know the people are so grateful because I've talked to them about you when I've gone and bought a paper, and so you're making a big difference, and so is Results. So I think we all should be very proud. So thanks for being on, Susan. You take care.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Oh, I almost hung up my phone. That wouldn't have been good. So anyway, I get really excited about that. I think that's just amazing that she can do that much work, and I know it's a lot of work. And I know the people, you know, have talked about how much it's helping them. And so bravo, Susan Beckett. And thank you for all the work you do for Results, too, which has been amazing. So the second part of our program now is that we are going to go on to a couple of people that are with Results and are going to talk to us about what's been happening in domestic results and some of the things that have happened that are really good successes for us. So the first person that's going to be on, I'm going to have both on, but the first person I want to tell you about is Christy Martino, and she's a grassroots organizer at Results, working to launch new chapters, support volunteer advocates all across the country to fight poverty in America, and is leading with an effort to lift the voices of the real experts on poverty, supporting them to share their expertise with policymakers, the media, and the general public. She was born into a working-class family in Binghamton, New York, and she saw poverty and struggle firsthand and has since dedicated herself to creating a world that truly creates opportunity for all. And she lives with her husband in Kittery Point, Maine. So we're going to be talking with Christy, and let me find you, Christy. Can you hear me, Christy?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, thank
Hi,
you for
Mary.
Joining us, and I'll just say a bit about Tamara, and then we will have a little conversation. So Tamara Bates is the other guest that's on, and she's just 22 years old. She's a senior at Philander Smith College in Little Rock, Arkansas. She was a former Real Change Fellow, she can tell you about that, and a current expert on poverty. She has done a lot of work with Get Out the Vote Arkansas and has accepted a city year job in D.C., after graduation, and she can tell us a little bit about how she became an advocate and what she's been doing. So, Tamara, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
Doing good. Okay.
That's good.
So is that Christy, right? You're there?
I am.
And you and Tamara know each other. I've just met you over the phone. But we are going to talk a little bit about what's been happening in the domestic side of results, because we also work on microcredit and getting all children in school and AIDS, TB, malaria globally. But this week, this month, we're going to talk about what's been happening domestically. So I think probably what do you want to start, Christy, and just talk a little bit about what's been happening or what you've been doing in your job?
Of course, yeah. And Mary, thank you so much for the opportunity to be on the show. And I'm so pleased, as always, to be on the phone with Tamara, my dear friend. And Susan was so inspiring. That work is just incredible. And I love the spirit of that. It's just fantastic. So, you know, results on our U.S. poverty work, 2015, it was an exciting year for all of us at Results, certainly. Throughout the year, our U.S. poverty group were working on tax breaks.
Hang on,
Tamara, would you
we got a lot of noise on the line. Is it yours, Tamara?
We good now?
Yeah,
it's me.
So.
I'm with you.
I think we're okay.
All right. So, yeah, you know, throughout the year, our U.S. poverty, actually, in many years past, our U.S. poverty groups had been working on tax fairness. And if you care about poverty, you really have to care about the tax code. I think most people hear taxes and they cringe a little bit. But there are some incredible tools within our existing tax system. Two of them are the Earned Income Tax Credit, or the EITC, you'll hear us use acronyms a lot, and the Child Tax Credit, or the CTC. So we had a huge victory on December 18th. Congress made permanent critical provisions to these pro-work tax credits, and these are credits, mind you, that lift millions out of poverty, really successful programs. The risk was the potential for 16 million Americans to fall into or deeper into poverty. Big deal. But because of the hard work that our volunteers across the country did alongside other advocacy organizations, 50 million low-income working Americans are able to keep the credits that help them pay for basic expenses. And so those things, you know, the things that people use their EITC and CTC money for, it's things like transportation, food, childcare, you know, basic necessities. And we at Results, we truly are a grassroots movement, and we can see this because we mobilized around this issue. We had 225 face-to-face meetings with members of Congress. And then we had 140 pieces of media published just on the EITC and the CTC alone. And in many of those meetings and those media pieces, our volunteers and certainly our experts on poverty cohort, they were telling real-life stories of how it affected them. And we know, you know, we know how impactful stories are. So that's
right.
That's how you create change. It's a really great example of what we do and how we do it, and that we really can use our voices to influence policymakers. So it's a very exciting victory. We're still elated. So
yeah,
it's a great time. Yeah.
And I noticed too in one of the things sent to us on email, it said, I'm sure many of you were reminded about that big victory when it was basically the first thing mentioned by presidents during the State of the Union address.
Right.
So that was also very cool.
Yeah, it was, you know, how many State of the Union addresses have mentioned tax credits? Not that many specifically, so it's very exciting. But that's, you know, that's a really good point to bring up. We're not, you know, this was a victory, but we don't stop at one victory. And right now, we have this opportunity to build on it and lift even more people out of poverty. You know, President Obama addressed, and he had mentioned bipartisan support for and the need to further expand these tax cuts specifically for low-income workers who don't have children or don't live with children. And which, by the way, that's a group of people that is taxed into poverty. And those are people like healthcare workers, retail workers, teachers, custodians, you know, childcare workers more. So we have work to do, but I know our results volunteers are tenacious and they never give up, and that inspires me and helps me to get up out of bed every single morning.
Well, it said President Obama and House Speaker Ryan both support bipartisan efforts to expand it. So that's good now that we know that there's somebody on the other side that's also thinking they might want to do something. So that's good. And,
exactly.
Yeah, so that was really wonderful that happened. And I know that this Friday is the EITC, what did she call it? The
Awareness Day. EITC Awareness Day.
So we're inviting aides from the congressional offices to go and see what's next for tax credits for low-wage workers. So we're going to call on some of those aides that helped us get their boss to sign on for making the tax credits permanent. So we'll be doing that this week, too. And anyone else that would like to do that, you know, they can look on results.org and see what's happening. And if anybody wants to, they can email me at malbertson05@aol.com if you want some other information or who to call, what to do. And sounds pretty interesting. They've got the keynote speaker, Professor Catherine Eden, who co-authored the books $2 a Day and It's Not Like I'm Poor, which I would like to get. So what else are you seeing that's going on in your job? How long have you been at this job, Christy?
So I've been with Results for 2 years now. And, you know, I don't come from an advocacy background, but I think I was so drawn to Results and just had to get into this and really dedicate my life to it. Because I was really one of those people that was very cynical and didn't think anything could change. And I had felt so powerless in my life so many times, and then discovered Results and said, wow, these are everyday people just like me that are doing incredible things. So I'm happy to be doing that. And my job is really, it's fulfilling and exciting. I get to talk to a variety of people in a variety of places and help support them to have that same breakthrough that I did and be a part of this. So it's really wonderful, and I'm very grateful to be with Results.
Yeah, well, that's how I felt too, and I just had a lot of experiences that brought me to the understanding that this is where I was supposed to be, and Tamara going to the international conference in D.C. every year, it's just something that really kind of blows your mind, and everything that it's talked about and makes you want to keep going. And some of our people that we've had as a keynote are Dr. Jim Kim, the president of the World Bank. We've had the global economist, Dr. Jeffrey Sachs, and lots of other, Muhammad Yunus, father of microcredit. So everything is really makes us feel like, you know, we're in the right place and needed really badly. And there's this big of a percentage of families, like 20% of children are in poverty. And so I'm guessing that part of the programming that you're doing, too, that has to do with Tamara, maybe we can have you guys talk about that a little bit now.
Yeah, and I'll just really quickly, because I want to make sure Tamara can talk about all the great things she's doing. You know, to back up, our Experts on Poverty project, it's really coming out of the fact that the voices of those who are directly affected by programs and policies, you know, things like nutrition programs, SNAP benefits and things like that, they're just not heard. So, you know, this cohort of 15 experts, and we call them experts because they have firsthand knowledge and expertise, they should always have a seat at the table for policy debates. And they're doing incredible things. So, and I'm glad Tamara is here to talk a little bit about that.
Can you guys hear me? Thank you, Mary,
for
having me on your show today. To piggyback on what Christy said, I got involved with Results. Well, actually, I was supposed to be in class one day, and I seen the opportunity to go to D.C. for free. And not to say for free, but I not only gain, well, where I can gain insight on what's going on, like with the poverty issues, because I was like, you know, this is something that, you know, I'm used to. My mom was on SNAP benefits, and I have family who's been on SNAP benefits as well. So I was like, I want to go learn more about what is results, who is results, and what do results do. And so I've been like 3 years, well, actually going on 3 years strong into the game with partnering with results and being just a real change fellow intern with results. And just by being with results, I have gained insight not only how, you know, the political advocates work, but just how to, you know, talk to our Congress, our legislators, and just go and talk to them and build those relationships. And since I've been building relationships, I actually had my congressman to come out to my college. He's been out there several times just to get his face out there and actually talk to the students, because when I sat down and talked with him, I was like, at the end of the day, I was like, you guys come around when it's time for election. I was like, you don't come around when it's just time for us just to have a normal conversation about race or about poverty. You guys come around when it's time for us to vote you back in. So I was like, in order for you to, you know, grasp and, you know, get on hold to my generation, I was like, you got to show your face. And French Hill, Congressman French Hill, he's been doing a pretty good job trying to show his face back on our campus.
What was his name?
As well as in our neighborhood.
What was his name?
His name is Congressman French Hill.
Okay.
And also Senator Bozeman, he's as well as, he's just like a cool, he's a soft-spoken guy, but he's been doing some pretty good things as well. So I'm just speaking with him. He actually signed off on the Gavi vaccine. And I wouldn't have presented the information to him, I'm guessing he wouldn't have said, well, I'm not going to sign off on something that's not important. But he said, when I talked with him, I met with him, he said the reason he signed off on the vaccine is because he just had a grandchild. And he said, well, if I can give my grandchild, you know, some vaccines, if the baby can be treated here, why not try to treat someone else's child and get someone else's child treatment? So it's all a learning experience. I'm still learning. Like Christy said, I'll be moving to D.C. at the end of June. But that's where I would like to be, just in order to understand the work of, you know, how it is on the day-to-day basis from lobbyists. You know, this is what they do, blood, sweat, and tears. I mean, you win some, you lose some. But at the end of the day, I would like to be in a position where I can not only help change the world, but change the spaces and add energy to the people that surround me. So it's been an emotional roller coaster, but at the same time, I know our work is not in vain. And so I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited. And then, like I said, Christy, me and Christy like the go-to people. So when Christy, she's my motivation. So I motivate.
Hmm.
We motivate each other. And especially with the experts on poverty, I'm not poor, but I'm not rich neither. And so the thing that we can relate, then the other constituents as well who's in the panel, we can all relate. Like, we know what it's like to eat noodles, and we know what it's like to have your lights cut off. We know what it's like to not have enough money to just go be able to buy you something to eat. So that's really what draw me to results, because they're trying to get results and make the world a better place. And if we just continue to bridge together, continue to talk to each other and how we can come up with solutions, we are in the right direction. We're going in the right direction, but we just need everyone to grasp onto this, you know, grasp onto this solution, so we all can make it a world change solution. So I'm excited. So I'm continuing my work. I mean, I will not stop. This is what I do. So I'm excited.
Well, that's great, especially at 22, because I didn't figure out anything I was going to do until I was over 50. So I was kind of like, how I never figured this out before this? I've got a lot to do. I don't got to hurry up. But and maybe you could just say, Christy, a little more about the experts program or the real change, so that anybody that's a young person can know if they would like to try to follow up on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll talk about the experts, and Tamara can talk about the real change program.
That's what I was getting into. When I'm sorry. Yeah, I'll talk
about
it.
That's okay.
Okay.
Our experts project is new. It started launched at the 15
ICE. Hang on 1 minute. I'm getting a lot of noise again. Tamara, is there a lot of noise on your end?
I'm muting my phone.
Oh, okay. And you can come back on as soon as she's done with it. Okay.
Okay. So our Experts on Poverty project launched in 2015 in July at our international conference. We have a cohort of 15 experts from a variety of backgrounds and all over the country. And we're supporting them on an ongoing basis to keep telling their stories, their personal narratives, and keep engaging with policymakers, the media, and their own communities, similar to what Results volunteers are already doing, but specifically helping them tell their real-life experience, because their stories are really powerful, and they're very inspiring. And I have to say, they truly are just this incredible group that are so supportive of one another. They absolutely motivate me to keep doing this work. We're hoping that this project grows and that it keeps going, because like I said before, they absolutely must have a seat at the table when policy debates are happening over programs that will directly affect them. It's only right that they have a voice and that they are heard. So it's an exciting project. I'm really proud that, we've had some incredible things happen. One of our experts, Maxine, had a great op-ed published in The Hill. We've had numerous media pieces published, speaking engagements. The panel at our IC was fantastic. So we're hoping for more opportunities for them to tell their stories. And honestly, I say we've been training and supporting them, but we are getting so much back from them. I mean, great feedback and great insight into this project. So it's only going to get...
Well, that's great.
Yeah, and so to talk about real change, I was telling you guys a little bit about how I got involved with real change. I was actually supposed to be in class, but like I said, I heard about this opportunity. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to think about it. But I actually signed up for the program, and Carly Pildes, who she's a great, phenomenal, she's like a really rock star. She called, she was like, well, you're coming to real change. I was like, okay, cool. So once I got there, it was a lot of other college students just like me who wanted to learn about, being an advocate for not only poverty, but being an advocate for someone who's in that position. And so the Real Change mm-hmm. program, they bring you to D.C. During the IC conference. And during IC, we have our own sessions on how to write letters to members of Congress, how to talk to legislators, and also how to schedule meetings, which are members of Congress. And so... for us, that was just a time for us not only to get our feet wet, but they also pushed us out there to not be scared and say, hey, look, we voted you in and we can vote you out. And our saying is, who does Congress work for? We always say us. And so at the end of the day, real change is for students who are 18 up to 25, if I'm not mistaken, to get them involved in being an advocate, learning how to not only write those letters to their Congress, but also learning to publish their own ops and newspapers, so that not only can the community find out, what's going on, but how can we, bridge this gap, what's going on. And also we talk more about the racial wealth gap. It's just a lot that we go into and talk about. So Real Change, it's a great opportunity for students 18 to 25 to get involved with not the voting process, but also just get them involved with learning what's going on in this mm-hmm. legislation process. So, yeah, it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if anyone listening would like to think about getting involved in that, Christy or Tamara, what could they do or who could they contact about that?
Well, I know for the Real Change application, it's on theresults.org, and you just go to the fellowship program. Well, you can browse the web, and it says, when it's time for the application to go out, it usually like pop up on the website, and you can just see it. But usually, it's under the fellowships or internships. And so, and also another thing, they have the Real Change Fellowship Program, which that lasts for the appointment lasts for a year, but
after you leave the program in July. Well, it was in June this year, wasn't it, Chrissy? The program was in June, right? June, okay.
Uh-huh.
So last year we came to D.C. in July, but we came back to a mid-year retreat in March back in D.C., and so it was just to get us, you know, back motivated, not to say back motivated, but to continue the fire, because at the end of the day, after we leave D.C., we go back to our prospective neighborhoods. We go back to our daily, like, it's like, well, why should I continue to do this? At the end of the day, you're still in a position and you want your voice to be heard. So that's why I continue to do the things that I'm doing, because I don't want, you know, like my nieces, my nephews, the students, and also everyone else coming up behind me, I want to be able to, you know, have them in a situation where not only that they can think for themselves, but they can say, well, hey, they fought for us, so let's continue this cycle. Well, not continue the cycle, but let's just continue to bridge the gap. Let's continue to make this world a better place. So it's all about teaching. It's all about, you know, if you don't know, you don't know. But if you do know, you know better, you do better. So that's the motto.
That's right.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a Maya Angelou quote, I think, too.
Yeah. Maya Angelou.
Yep.
I think so.
Anyway, and Mary, you know, if I can just add one thing.
I got a lot of noise still. Tomorrow, you got people in the background. Can you mute your phone?
Sorry.
Just one thing I want to add that I was, you know, thinking while Tamara was talking.
Yeah.
I think there's this big divide. You know, sometimes we talk about we really need to humanize the face of poverty, and that's absolutely true. We need. There's a lot of myths and misconceptions around that, but I also think we need to humanize politicians. I think there's a lot of, you know, demonization of our elected officials, and sometimes that's halfway worthy, sometimes it's not. So, having, you know, being in results and having the skills to speak to your members of Congress and to speak to candidates and things like that, I think it's really valuable for the direction of the country.
Definitely. I know we had one congressperson say, I mean, they don't all care what we want, not everyone, but a lot of them do. And one said, you elect us and then you abandon us. You don't even tell us what you want us to do. You know, we love it when you come in. And another one said, we love it when results comes in because you're lobbying for something other than monetary value for yourself. This is for people who need a hand up. And they would mostly, usually be very happy to see us. And like I said, we've just, you know, we've made some really great strides with a lot of people. And we went to one event. In fact, it was a birthday party for one of our senators, and got to talk to his daughter at the University of Michigan, and sounded interesting to her, so she's thinking about joining our results group at Michigan.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, there's
fantastic
opportunities. There's opportunities everywhere. In a town hall, if they're having other things, it's great to go in there and just know the aides and call them. They're going, hi, you know, you're letting me know about this, keeping me in the loop. And you're like shocked that people really don't feel that way about you, but they know we care. And the results is just one of the best. One person can make a difference. And so I urge people to go on the website. Is there anything you guys would like to finish up with? Because we just have a couple of minutes.
Go ahead, Tamara.
No, I just want to thank you for having us on the show, just to share, you know, our experience.
Oh, you're welcome.
Just to give feedback about results, because since I've been with the results, I've been getting results.
Yeah, well,
so
we're really happy to have you at 22 years of age. That's fabulous. And what's
actually,
better
I'm 23 as well, too.
Oh,
I just turned 23,
no.
So it's okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Still
older.
Impressive.
Okay. But, I mean, even when you go to look for a job, you know, your resume says that you have advocated with Congress, met with Congress to help people who are in poverty and are hungry. And what better thing could there possibly be to do? It's just something that is just wonderful. So, Chrissy, what were you going to say?
I just want to urge people to get involved. And, you know, there are numerous ways to get involved. You know, start with our website. Sign up for our Action Network so you get great updates every week and our monthly action sheets. We also have information for that on our results website under the calendar of events. I mean, it's just a fantastic way to get plugged in and do something that's worthwhile and really make a difference. Tomorrow's 23, but that means she's old enough to run for office. So I hope to be campaigning for her.
Hey, you will, Chrissy.
Right.
You will.
We need a lot more women in Congress. So let's go tomorrow.
Right.
Hey, how about you too, Chrissy?
All right.
So anyway, well, thank you for tuning in. The results website, www.results.org. Christy, you said you had an email you would give out.
Sure, it's kmartino@results.org. So my name is Christy Martino, and my email address is kmartino@results.org.
Okay. And Tamara, I don't know if you need to have anything as far as contact for you, unless you want to.
Well, you can, anyone listening, 18 through 25, if you would like to know more about results in the Real Change Fellow Program, you can email me at Tamara, T-A-M-A-R-A-C, Bates, B-A-T-E-S, @gmail.com, and I can give you more information about the program. Like I said, it's a great program for not only if you're young and passionate about changing the world, but it's just a program to get you involved in being an advocate and advocacy. So it's a great program. So I'm excited. And I see you guys at the conference.
Yeah,
2016.
That's right.
And so it's going to be a great thing.
And
so
if people
excited.
That decide they might want to come to the conference, it's all a learning experience. You'll find out how to do everything. You don't have to worry that you don't know how to do this or that. They'll let you know. So anyway, got a lot of noise. Let's say goodbye to everyone. And thank you guys so much for being on. And I will see you in D.C.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Mary. Thank you, Tamara.
No problem.
All right.
Take
thank
care.
You, Chrissy.
You guys are doing great. Keep it up.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.